Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha no, everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all my brothers and my sisters tonight. Mahalo for tuning in tonight. I'd like to give a shout out to the Berean and Friday Chapel boys at Halava. My Wa'alva boys, I'll see you tonight. And my FDC faithfuls, you know who you are. And to anyone else who is listening behind the walls tonight. Maybe you could be sitting at your dining room table on the way home from a long day at work, tuning in. Mahalo. Free Inside Ministry, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Honolulu Red Hill, has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, and the lost, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in Halava, Wa'ava, OCCC, FDC, and soon, very soon, in the Women's Correctional Facility in Kailua. We also minister to our brothers in Saguaro, Arizona, and will be heading there the first weekend of May. Mahalo to all those who have joined us. Feel free to check out our website, www.freeinsideministry.org, where you can find all of our programs in a podcast format to download for your listening enjoyment. We also have a Facebook page with the same name, and our email is freeinsideministry@gmail.com. Drop me a line, send me a suggestion, or let me know if this program has helped you in any way. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. And it goes on to say in verses 12 to 14, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and will bring you home again to your own land. And our favorite verse, another one. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Tonight's message is called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Damascus. I don't know about you, but when you're growing up small kid time, you ever have this happen to you? It's like you're going down this one road or this one path, and then all of a sudden something happens and you buckle loose, you're going 180 degrees the other way, and you can't really explain it. It's like when you're cruising North Shore with your friends. You think you're headed to the North Shore, go check out the surf or check out Waimea Bay, and you kind of fall asleep, you take a nap, and when you wake up, all of a sudden you're at Sandy's. You go, huh? What happened? You remember that feeling when you weren't in control? It's kind of freaky because your mind was set on one thing, and then bam, you're not where you thought you would be or should be. It just might be that you've forgotten where you are. Sometimes like you're sleeping at a friend's house and you wake up in the middle of the night, you're a little disoriented. Maybe you guys are at a party or something and you don't recognize anything around you. You get kind of spooked and your mind starts to race. Or in another very real scenario, you could just be hanging with your friends, just hanging out and stuff, cruising on the freeway. All of a sudden the blue lights get turned on. They hit you with the lights and next thing you know, you're standing up against the fence and they're frisking you, and guess what happens? One of your friends is holding some stuff for another friend. Guess what? Yep, now everybody's going in. Wow, wow, wow. Something like that happened in the Bible, and if you look in the book of Acts, you're going to read about a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who we come to know later as Paul the Apostle. And it's really a very intriguing story of how one of the greatest authors of the New Testament came to be. It's in the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 9. And we're going to be in verse 1. Where we find Saul of Tarsus traveling to Damascus to find more Christians to kill. That's right. To find more Christians to kill. It's the conversion of Saul. He's on his way to Damascus. In the New Living Translation, or if you have your sword, which I hope if you're a regular listener, you would bring your Bible with you as we read the Word of God, if you're able to. If you were to go to a boxing match and you were one of the contenders or the fighters, you would put your boxing gloves on. If you're going to play baseball and the starting shortstop, you'd make sure you have your glove and your bat. And if you're playing football, you make sure you have your helmet and shoes and your pads. So just as we're going to go and battle, I would hope you would have your sword with you. For those of you that are behind the walls, if you don't have a sword, request one from the chaplain. They should have an ample supply. But in the New Living Translation, in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1, it says that meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Now, as he was approaching Damascus on the mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now this is a really, really great story. Because you see, I'm going to give you the version in the Message Bible, and then I'm going to share it out of our favorite book, the Jesus book, the West Side version. So in the Message Bible, it says, "All this time Saul was breathing down the necks of the master's disciples out for the kill. He went to the chief priest and got arrest warrants to take to the meeting places in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there belonging to the way, whether men or women, he could arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. He set off. When he got to the outskirts of Damascus, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. As he fell to the ground, he heard a voice, 'Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me?' He said, 'Who are you, master?' 'I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down. I want you to get up and enter the city. In the city, you'll be told what to do next.' His companions stood there dumbstruck. They could hear the sound, but couldn't see anyone. While Saul, picking himself up off the ground, found himself stone blind. They had to take him by the hand and lead him into Damascus. He continued blind for 3 days. He ate nothing and drank nothing." To round out this story, I'd like to read from the West Side Version, from the Jesus book. So for all of those of you who didn't have a sword and you're a little confused on the first two versions, I hope that this third version will be able to bring it home for you, bring it to conclusion for you. "Saul still yet stay telling the people that stay tight with the boss that he gonna kill them. He went go to the head priest guy and went tell him for write letters for the Jewish church's Damascus side, so that if you find some guys or Wahinis over there that stick with the stuff about Jesus, he can take them inside the prison Jerusalem side. Saul stay going on the road and come near Damascus. And you know what? Right then and there, one light from the sky went flash around him. He went fall on top of the ground, and he hear one voice telling him, 'Hey, Saul, Saul, how come you making me suffer?' Saul went ask, 'Why, who you, boss?' The voice went say, 'I, Jesus, the guy you stay make suffer. Now stand up and go inside the town, and somebody gonna tell you what you gotta do.' Now the guys that went go with Saul went stay there and never say nothing. They went hear the voice, but they never go see anybody, huh? So Saul, he went go stand up. But now when he go open his eyes, he no can see nothing. So they had to go take him by the hand, and they all went go inside Damascus. For 3 days, he no can see nothing. And all that time, he no can see nothing. He never drink or eat nothing." This guy Saul was on a mission. He was nuts. He was nuts for kill. You see, because in the New Living Translation, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers." in the Message Bible, it says, all this time Saul was breathing down the necks of the master's disciples out for the kill. And of course, in our Jesus book, Saul still yet stay telling the people that stay tight with the boss that he gonna kill them. I would say that Saul was, focused. I would say he was motivated. I would say that he was fired up. I would say he was consumed with a passion. I would say that he was a murderer, plain and simple. He was bent on killing Christians everywhere. What determination, though? What drive? What focus? Hey, maybe that's what God saw in him before the conversion. I never thought of that. But I mean, he was really focused on what his purpose in life was. And his purpose in life was to kill all the Christians. So much to the fact that he was going to venture out of Jerusalem and go to Damascus and find more Christians, both men and women, as stated in the Bible, and bring them back to Jerusalem in chains to kill them. He had already gone to the high priest, or the chief priest, whichever title you'd like to give him, and he got arrest warrants. So he got legal authority from man, legal authority from the government to take it to Damascus with him. So if he found anyone there, he could arrest them, and he was going to kill them. But you see, it was on the road to Damascus that something happened. Something that changed Saul's life radically, forevermore. And it was called the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. How God was able to take one of the most hated men at the time, a man that was killing all Christians that he could find and lay his hands on, and it's a conversion of how God was going to use him mightily to build God's kingdom. The conversion is actually something I hope for each and every one of you listening tonight. I really do. For some of you, my beloved, it's going to take something like this to change your path, to change your journey, to change your life, to change where you're headed. For those of you that are tuning in, this is Free Inside Ministry, and we're talking tonight about a funny thing happened on the way to Damascus. Our website, www.freeinsideministry.org, has all of our broadcasts from this show and previous shows for your listening enjoyment. And they're also set up in a podcast format to be delivered directly to your iPhone or to your iPad. But let's get back to the story. Now, Saul is going down the road to Damascus and something happens. A bright light comes from the sky and the Lord talks to him. You see, in Saul's case, God blinded him so that he could not see anything around him that he was used to seeing. God blinded him so that he would become dependent upon God. God put him in a situation that he was not familiar with. God took him out of the situation that he was familiar with. God took him out of an environment that he was familiar with. God took him out of a place where he was used to doing the things that he was doing, which is grabbing the Christians so he could kill them. God removed him from that situation and put him into a situation where he could not see what he was used to seeing. He could not do what he was used to doing. He could not act in the way that he had been acting all along up to this point of the conversion. The reason this is such a pivotal point, this is such a critical point, this is so very important, is maybe, and I'm going to go out on a pastoral latitude, maybe a limb, if you may, with me. Just bear with me, my brothers and my sisters. Maybe, you know, let's keep our minds open, our hearts open, and receive the Rhema word. Maybe God has placed the same scales over your eyes and has separated you from everything that you know. He has separated from everything that you know how to do. He has separated you from an environment that you're comfortable in, that you're going nowhere in, that you're doing no good in, that you're not serving him in. He got you out of that situation. Maybe God is doing the same thing to you so that you cannot see the things that are used to seeing. He has symbolically blinded you, hoping that you will become dependent on him as he made Saul dependent on him. Now, if you keep doing what you were doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. Nothing changes, my beloved. The same action produces the same reaction. If you had kept doing the things you were doing when you were on the outside, you would have gotten nowhere. But the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. Another version, it says, he set off. When he got to the outskirts of Damascus, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. Now, as he fell to the ground, he heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me? He said, who are you, master? I am Jesus, the one you are hunting down. I want you to get up and enter the city. In the city, you'll be told what to do next. Now, his companion stood there dumbstruck. They could hear the sound, but could not see anyone. When Saul, picking himself up off the ground, found himself stone blind. You know, in the Jesus book, it says, the voice went say, I, Jesus, the guy you stay make suffer. Now stand up and go inside the town, and somebody going to tell you what you got to do. The guys that went go with Saul went stay there and never say nothing. They went hear the voice, but they never see anybody. My beloved, I hope that you have a conversion as Saul did. I hope that the Lord strikes you so that he gets some sense into you to show you that if you keep doing what you're doing, it's going to be the same reaction. To get drastic results, you need to make a drastic change. The Lord has already done his part by taking you out of everything that you were used to doing and put you in a place where he could talk to you, where he could get close to you, where he could develop that relationship with you. But a relationship involves two people. It's a two-way conversation. But you see, just like here, my beloved, when God calls you, he might not be calling you and your friends, just you and only you. You see, the companions that were traveling with Saul heard something, but they didn't see anyone. So you see, God might be trying to just talk to you. He wants a personal relationship with you so that he can guide you, so he can talk with you, so he can counsel you, just you alone. No need your friends. They're going to notice something happening, but they're not going to know what's going on. They're going to have their time. But right now, it might be your time when the Lord is calling you, my beloved. And sometimes God will call you in the craziest of all places. Look at Saul. He was on his way to Damascus to get more Christians to kill. And it's on that road to Damascus that God touched him and changed his life forever. Not just for the day, not just for the weekend, not for the month, not for the year. His life was changed forever. Just like you're sitting there at the edge of your bed, maybe you're lying down right now and you're looking up at your bunk, you're looking up at the ceiling. You say, Brother Bula, what are you talking about? I'm in prison. My beloved, I know exactly where you're at. I know exactly where you're at. And that is why I am reaching out with you and reaching out to you tonight to have you to listen about the conversion of Saul. Because you see, sometimes God talks to us in the craziest of all places. God might even talk to you, would you believe, in prison? God might talk to you in a place where there are no more distractions, like in prison. God might talk to you in a place where there's no other activities going around you except the voice of the Lord. You see, it's not like who you're hanging around with. It's who wants to hang around with you. God wants to hang out with you. God wants to be part of your life. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You see, my beloved, there's going to come a time when you're going to realize that you have to get into alignment for your assignment. Because when God calls, we have to be ready. We need to be ready. We should be ready. Sometimes God is going to take you right out of what you're doing and put you somewhere that he can reach you more easily. For some of us, that might be in prison. You see, those are not walls of incarceration. Those are walls of your liberation. It's liberation from the sin you were in. It's liberation from the drugs you were doing. It's liberation from the alcohol you were drinking. It's liberation from the broken relationships you were in. It's liberation from the life of crime that you were leading. It's liberation from the life of wrong choices that you were making. It's liberation from the life of hurting those you love all the time. You see, that's what happens when God gets a hold of you. He's trying to shake you. He's trying to wake you. He's trying to break you. Because there's one of two choices. He either let the Lord break you and receive his blessings and receive his instruction, or the other choice is fight, 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 and the Lord will still break you. It's not a matter of if, my brothers and sisters, it's a matter of when. And the sooner that we come to realization that we were put on this earth to serve our Heavenly Father, the sooner the blessings will flow, my brothers and sisters. You see, hurt people hurt people. Let me say that again so you can understand what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Hurt people hurt people. You see, everyone has a past, but everyone has a future. Your faith is your footsteps to freedom. It's the footsteps to freedom from the bondage that the devil has you in. It's the footsteps of faith, footsteps to freedom from the bondage of all that the devil has placed you in. It's your path to forgiveness. Your faith is a source of your hope. That is what your faith is. Because you see, now catch this, my brothers and my sisters. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Let's run that again, Brother Bula. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Because where God guides, God provides. The law condemns the best of us, but grace saves the worst of us. That's in 1 Timothy 1:15. You see, the Bible is written for your protection. It was written for your correction. It was written for your direction. It's the best book you can get. It's been a bestseller for 2,000 years. It's the one that's going to help you get out. If the world got you where you're at, the Word of God will deliver you. If the world got you where you're sitting at right today, the Word will get you out of where you're at. God loves you right where you're at, right now. But He loves you too much to leave you where you're at. God's not waiting for you to get your act together. You know why? Because He knows you can't get your act together without Him. You know, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, but I'm just trying to reach out to you. There's got to come a point in your life when you look in the mirror and you say, what happened? What happened? What am I doing here? It's at that point the Lord is reaching out to you. He's holding you in His hands and He's telling you, my son, my daughter, talk to me. Just how we talk to our kids. Talk to us. Talk to me. What's going on? How come you all sad? What's going on in school? What's going on at work? You know, it's that relationship. It's the love you have as a parent for your children. Would you believe it's the same love that God has for each and every one of us? You see, God's time. With God, time means absolutely nothing. With God, time means nothing. But timing means everything. It's when you say, I can't, but He can, is when He steps in. Because you got to believe that God made you on purpose for a purpose. When the world is through with you, the Lord begins His work in you. Maybe you're at a point, maybe you're at the bottom of the barrel. Maybe you're so far down in the barrel, you got splinters sitting where you're at. I would say that's the bottom of the barrel. I would say that's like the prodigal son looking at the pig slop and saying, if I had some ketchup and Tabasco, I could whack this with the pigs. A Jewish boy sitting, sleeping in the muck with the pigs, thinking that he can eat the pig slop. See, you are not defined by your past. You are prepared by your past because failure is not falling down. Failure is not getting up, my brothers and sisters. Did Jesus stay down when He fell down with the cross on His shoulders after He was on His way going up to be crucified? Every time He stumbled on that cobblestone walkway, people were spitting at Him. People were yelling at Him. They were kicking dirt at Him. They were ridiculing Him. Our Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, they were ridiculing Him. They were shouting, kill Him, kill Him. Did he stay down? Did He just say, God, my Father, come down and remove me from this place? No, He got up every single time because you know why? He knew what He had to do. He knew He had to go to His destiny. He knew He had to go on the cross. He knew He had to shed the blood on that cross for our sins, for your family's sins. He was crucified so we were justified so He could be glorified. Hallelujah. The time to come to the Lord is now. The time to serve Him is now. We were created to be positive, to live in victory, and to be an overcomer. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Hallelujah. My brothers, you have to know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:17. There was a reason He went on that cross. There was a reason He was bleeding on that cross. That blood is what washed us, washed our sins clean. That blood is what made everything right. He was crucified so we were justified, so He could be glorified. My brothers and sisters, we don't celebrate the crucifixion, we celebrate the resurrection, because on the third day, He rose. You got to remember that faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Just like Saul on his way to Damascus, when the light shone down upon him, and he looked up into the light, and he was blinded. Maybe the Lord has placed you in a situation that is blinding you, so you cannot see what you used to do, so you cannot see everything that you're accustomed to. He's put you in a place so He can blind you, so He can get your attention, so He can wake you up, so He can show you what He wants to do with you, and He can show you how He wants to bless you. See, a lot of times we think we have to wait to heaven to get to bless, but God wants to bless us right here. He can bless us right here on this earth, but how is He going to bless us if we continue to disobey Him? You know, we've got to get straight we got to get right or we're going to get left, my brothers and sisters. My beloved, I reach out to you right now, in this time, wherever you're at. I shared with you the story from Acts chapter 9 about Saul, and we'll continue with Saul later on tomorrow, of how he is converted to Paul, Apostle Paul, one of the greatest leaders of Christianity, wrote more than half of the New Testament. Now, if God didn't have that conversion with Saul, where would the New Testament be? Where would Christianity as a faith be? I'm not sure, but the one thing that Paul had, that Saul had, that they shared in common, was their focus. Saul was determined. Saul was focused. Saul was bent to kill. He had initiative. He was a self-starter. Maybe that's what God saw in him, so God converted him to Paul. God sees the good in you too, my brothers and sisters. He sees what you have inside you. He wants you to use that to serve him. He wants you to use that to help build the kingdom. My brothers and sisters, you were created on purpose, for a purpose. Realize that. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. Reach out to him. Call him Abba Father. Pray to him. Talk story with God. He wants to hear you. And he'll talk back with you. He hears your prayers. And he hears every request you have. And he sees your tears. God bless you. God keep you. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Ahuyo.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.